Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
There are many different institutions that are important to the lifeblood of the city of Los Angeles, but perhaps chief among them is the Los Angeles Police Department. So whenever there's a transition, whenever there is an outgoing and an incoming new chief of the LAPD, it's vitally important to the public to know more about who the person is and what the plans are for the LAPD. So today on In Depth, we have a very special show because we have not one, but two chiefs of the LAPD. One is the outgoing chief of the LAPD, Michael Moore, and the other is the incoming interim chief of the LAPD, Dominic Choi. Both of you, thank you for being with us. So let me start off with you, Chief Moore. When this airs, it will be your last day as the head of the LAPD. And you leave the organization, which you've been at for, was it 28 years? Or how long?
This is my 43rd year, since 1981.
Since
the Dodgers were in the World Series.
Okay. So after that many years, what is sort of your most prominent thought as you leave the department?
Pride in the men and women of this organization, that they come to work, they continue to come to work each day, regardless of the circumstances, turmoil, chaos, or calm waters,
right.
And they come to do their best. And what I see every day is that dedication, that sacrifice, their great work, and it makes me proud to be a member of this organization.
Did you, when you started with the LAPD, was that kind of your goal? Did you think that someday I want to be chief of the LAPD? Was that in the back of your head?
Not at all. I'm the first person and the only person in my family in law enforcement or even in public service.
Mm-hmm.
I came on the job as 21 years of age to make a difference, to really, as a believer, a Christian myself, I thought I was here for something more than just to be a CPA or to have a well-paying job. I wanted to have something that made a difference in people's lives, that I could contribute to a life with a purpose. And I found that attraction to this profession as I was going through college and working full-time, very rewarding, side gig, if you would. But I saw that, this is something that I think I could find excitement with, that I could find meaning and purpose, and it has delivered on that tenfold.
Dominic, when you started 28 years ago with LAPD, was that something that you thought at some point in the future you would be in a position? Was it something you even entertained of leading the department?
Absolutely not. Before coming on LAPD, I was an accountant.
Mm.
And I never dreamed of being a police officer, quite frankly, growing up. But I did, at a certain point in my life, decide to make a career choice, a change. And my brother actually handed me the number to LAPD's hiring. I called it. That week, I went down to take the test. 5 months later, I was in the academy.
That's quite a leap, though, from being an accountant to police.
Yeah, quite a leap. Well, yeah. First of all, I didn't enjoy accounting.
Right.
Second of all, I wanted to do something more meaningful, more valuable with my time. I was young, had a lot of energy, and this was perfect for me. I haven't looked back. I don't regret a day of changing careers. And this has been beyond what I can imagine as far as rewarding and being able to help people.
You two have known each other a long time, right?
Yes, more than a decade.
More than a decade, all right. So Chief Moore, put you on the spot. Is the guy sitting next to you, is he the right person to take your place, even if it's in an interim basis? And if so, why?
1,000%.
Why?
because of his ability to be a team builder, to a communicator. He is approachable. He has a heart of service. He's genuine. He cares about the men and women of this organization. He cares about the people of Los Angeles. He cares about the department, and he has his priorities in order. He's a family man. He's a person with unflappable integrity. So he's genuine, and I'm proud of this accomplishment. I'm proud of the Board of Police Commissioners who sought out with my announcement with an important task. And they did a genuine effort to solicit interested individuals both within the organization as well as outside. And they drew interest from both inside and outside. And I'm informally aware of those that competed. And I'm grateful that they did, because I think they challenged the commission to really consider and evaluate who at this point in time is best suited for this position to continue this department moving forward, to not just to be a placeholder, not to be someone who's going to have us go into neutral, but is going to continue to take on the important and critical task of protecting a city of 4 million, the second largest in the country, at a critical time. As this city moves forward.
We're talking again with outgoing LAPD Chief Michael Moore and incoming interim LAPD Chief Dominic Choi. Dominic, so you're in a kind of interesting position now, where you will be as interim chief, because on the one hand, you want to, I'm sure, continue some of the policies that you think your predecessor sitting next to you, Michael Moore, instituted. But as the new guy heading things, you might want to change things, because that would be your prerogative. Are there things you think you want to change, and what would they be?
Well, let me just start by saying, you know, I grew up in the organization. We have a strategic plan, initiatives that we move forward in all parts of policing, from crime fighting to community engagement to technology. All that. But I was part of developing those initiatives with Chief Moore. Mm-hmm. So to say that I want to come in and change everything, not only would it be hypocritical, but it's not accurate. I believe in those initiatives. I think we have a great strategic plan. It goes out to 2025 and beyond. It's a living document that changes and morphs as things change in, you know, in the environment, in the community, and what have you. So to say, I'm not here to change a lot of things. Mm-hmm. What I'm here to do is make sure that we stay on course, that those initiatives that were developed, that I agreed to, that we move forward on those, and that we continue to, quite frankly, fight crime, build our community engagement, build public trust, increase employee wellness and morale. Those are all things that are in our strategic plan. I will continue to move those forward.
But Charles, let me say that, you know, there's no two leaders that are exactly alike. And so what I believe Angelinos can anticipate is that a man who's going to approach this strategically, he's going to use his wisdom, background, experience, his knowledge, and his temperament, and inevitably both to the public as well as to members of the organization, this is an opportunity to also have a different viewpoint. So mm-hmm. I suspect there will be some changes, and I would hope that there would be, that this is not what would Mike Moore do. This is what Dominic Choi, this is his moment in time,
But you're going to stay on as a consultant, aren't you?
Yes,
wasn't that the initial idea?
Yes.
Did you sign that contract with the city?
That is, I'm sure it's in the mail. So I'm here.
Well, you're not answering that question.
Well, I'm not in a consultant agreement yet, but you know.
You want to be.
But I'm very supportive of entering whatever agreement with the city is needed.
Okay.
Or desired.
Dominic, do you want him consulting with you?
Absolutely.
So, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve that purpose. I'm not looking for a second gig, and I certainly don't believe that there's going to be two chiefs of police in this city. Dominic Choi takes the reins at the end of tomorrow. I am here to help and support him, to support Mayor Bass, to support the Board of Police Commissioners. But what Angelinos can trust is that the mayor, this Board of Police Commissioners, they've chosen well of a person who I believe has the best insight, knowledge. He knows this organization. He knows its strengths, its weaknesses. He knows the individuals involved in that. He knows the external stakeholders. There is no one better suited to take the playbook that we're in the midst of in the sixth inning and move forward.
All right. I want to get to that too. And again, we're talking with outgoing Los Angeles Police Department Chief Michael Moore and the incoming interim chief of the LAPD, Dominic Choi. Dominic, when you first got this gig, we talked briefly, if you remember, on the air. And I asked you then why you opted to not go for the full-time job, because that was one of the conditions for you getting the interim one. So I want to explore that a little more with you, because Michael Moore, sitting here, just gave a really good ringing endorsement of you and all the qualities that he sees in you that make a really good, in his belief, chief of the LAPD. And I presume you agree with that as a self-assessment. Why wouldn't you want to do it full-time?
Well, again, as I said before, it was a personal decision even before the opportunity was there. It was a personal decision for me. I have a timeline that I've set with my family and my wife on when I would be departing the city. And I want to stay true to that. And I don't want to come into or commit to competing for a job that I'm not going to not only do one term. If you get to know me, when I'm into something, I'm 110% in. So it wouldn't be a one-term deal for me. I would want to go for a second term. Hmm. And I just can't give that commitment of 10 years at this point in my life. And so I want to stay true to that commitment to the city, to my wife. And by the way, after this interim position, I'm still going to stay with the department in whatever capacity they'll have me until my internal timeline that I've committed with expires. So.
All right, but I guess what I'm interested in, I'm kind of interested in the psychology of all this, because and you would know better, Michael Moore, because having been chief, you know, it's a good gig, right?
It is. It's one of the most demanding positions right. exists in law enforcement.
But it's a good job.
Oh, it's a great job. I mean, it's right. a very rewarding job, but it's also one.
And you're not sorry you took it.
Not at all.
And you're not sorry that you've been it.
No, but I walked into it with right. the same mindset that Chief Choi did and does as he assesses. I respect his decision because it is a commitment of not just yourself, but
right.
of your family.
Your family and all that. I get
of a
that.
A lifestyle that is all-encompassing.
But Dominic, could your position change? Might you get to like the job and think, could the day come? And let's be honest, in a month or two, you're doing it and you say, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job. Maybe it'll be your own self-assessment. And I think I can do an even better job with more time rather than turning it over to somebody else. Might you reconsider it?
No. My position, I think, has been steadfast throughout my career. You know, my word is my bond, and it's not that I'm being stubborn and don't want to change my position. Right. It's I still feel that my assessment of where this career takes me, this career has been more rewarding, and I've gone places that I've never imagined that I could do in the Los Angeles Police Department. I've done things to help the city, and it's been very rewarding. I'm satisfied, and I have more to give. Again, I'm not going to commit to 10 years. Not to say that I would get the first term or the second term, but I just want to be open and transparent about my commitment to the city, and that's why it's not going to change. It's not during the interim. I'm 110% in. I will do my very best to serve the city, to serve the officers and the employees within LAPD, and that's the commitment that I have right now, and it's going to stay that way.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
way.
Back now with our very special edition of KNX In Depth. With us is Michael Moore, who is the outgoing chief of the LAPD, and sitting right next to him is the incoming interim chief of the Los Angeles Police Department, Dominic Choi. Michael Moore, what kind of chief then, if Dominic Choi sitting next to you here in the studio keeps to his word and remains as an interim chief, giving way at some point, 6 months, whatever, 9 months, to a new permanent chief, should that permanent chief come from within LAPD or without? Because as you know, through the years, there's been a mix.
Well, it's my sincere hope that the next chief of police for the Los Angeles Police Department would be someone who is from within the organization. Or at least recently been a successful member of this organization. This organization is a very complex one. It's one that has many different features, descriptions. Its history is rich with both successes as well as shortcomings. And I think that an internal candidate is best suited. Now, having said that, I think the reality of the matter is you're right. Chief Willie Williams was the first external chief following Daryl Gates and following charter reform.
Which was an interesting leadership.
Interesting experience. And I'll say that the organization did not treat him well.
Yeah.
And I was a member of this organization.
Because he was from the outside.
There was a cultural resistance to it. And
but then Bill Bratton came along and he was from the outside.
And he came into the organization at a different time. He was a different chief. And there was organizational resistance to him as well, but he was able to overcome it through a number of strategies. Both of them posed challenges, and at the same time, Chief Parks, Chief Beck, myself, as internal candidates, we had our own challenges because we are internal. So there's no perfect scenario, but again, I believe in the home team. I believe in the team that we have here. It's got young leadership. It's got, but it's got an intelligent leadership and leadership that has seen the past, sees, and is excited for a future. And again, at the end of the day, that's not going to be my responsibility. It's going to be that of the Board of Police Commissioners to really understand what are the Angelenos looking for, what are they looking, not who, but what are they looking for. Then solicit across the country, and I suspect, maybe an international flavor may actually someone step up. It wouldn't be unique in this instance for someone to step forward. This is the most, if not the most iconic chief of police position in America, one of.
But when you say international, you mean someone from another country?
Oh, absolutely.
And there wouldn't be great resistance within LAPD to that?
What I'm saying is people can apply from wherever they come from.
Right.
And I'm just suggesting, I know, I was just at a major city chiefs conference. This is an iconic agency, and it is a absolute capstone position for people to aspire to. And so I fully expect that there'll be outside candidates.
Talking again to LAPD Chief Michael Moore and interim LAPD Chief Dominic Choi, you remember, I think when we talked, I talked about this with both of you on the day that you were announced, Dominic. You had some people, most people were very praiseworthy. You had people like Connie Rice, who was for those who don't know, was a long time civil rights leader in LA and who has sued LAPD over many, many years. But is also, I think both of you would agree, has done some constructive work with LAPD over the years. And she was critical. Of you, Dominic. She said that she thought you were a safe, I think was her word at the time, choice, because she wasn't confident that you would sort of kick open whatever the doors that need to be kicked open, in her view, to make substantial changes where changes were needed within the LAPD. So before I get you to respond to that, I'm going to bounce it back to Michael Moore. Do you think she's right?
No.
Why?
Because this is an organization that will forever be on its pursuit of building trust and building productive relationships with communities, of living up to our core values, of living out our motto. And we're never going to get there. We're always going to be in that pursuit. I talk about the arc of policing, and it's long, but it's built towards building trust in community. And you never actually, in my experience of 4+ decades, we're not in the same spot from where we were a year ago, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, but we're in a better spot. And in that pursuit, to say that the organization is broken, to say that the organization is hiding or obscuring things from the public view, is not a reality with what the LAPD is today. It may have been, in her experience, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, which is how far her experience goes, but she's not in the conversations today. She's not in the conversations with what we do with use of force, what we do when we mess up, when we our officers fall short. But I understand her criticism, and I understand her criticism that here's an insider that she views the organization in a much more critical and caustic manner than I do. And it's fair for her perspective, and it's her perspective alone. It's not mine, and I don't think it's the vast majority of Angelenos, where 7 out of 10, the safest people that they trust the most, other than their neighbors, is local police officers. Hmm. 8 out of 10 generally support the work that we're doing. And we have gaps and we have shortfalls. And some of the communities, we've got more work to do than others. But to say that, you know, this is a safe choice, yes, it is a safe choice. You know why? Because he's going to approach this organization with a thoughtful, reflective, and knowledge base that is going to gain and build confidence in our people, that we're not here just to tear the place up.
And yet, I think when we spoke, Dominic, you said at the time that you interpreted her remarks more in a constructive manner, I think was basically what the gist was. If that is how you interpret it, how can you, do you think, use that as constructive advice as opposed to criticism?
Well, I don't know if constructive would be the right term, but okay. I don't take it as offensive or a hit on me.
No, and I don't think she meant it that way.
No, I don't think so. No. But, you know, this is an interim position. Well, first of all, let me just address this. If a door needs to be kicked open, I will kick it open. I have no problems addressing anything that needs to be addressed organizationally, externally, internally. That I just want everyone to know that and have confidence in that. I have no problems making change when I see that it's absolutely necessary. As interim, though, what I don't want to do is create an environment where everything's turned upside down, where people are shifting, organizational changes, and then you have a new chief that comes in that may not see eye to eye with what I have. Hmm. And then they do it again. Now you have over years time of instability within the organization, and quite frankly, I think it harms the department internally, trying to keep them focused and on the right track, as I said earlier, implementing our strategic plan, which I think is a great plan. And so that's my focus, to keep people focused on the mission and the values of this organization, which I think are headed in the right direction. And then when the new chief or the permanent chief comes into place, that person can do another assessment and determine what that person feels needs to be changed. But to be in constant change, we're always in constant change, but to be in drastic change, organizational, structural change, those type of things for a year's period will be challenging for the organization.
Let me end with this. I'm going to ask you, Chief Moore, to tell me what was in your view, best advice you gave Dominic Choi? And then, Dominic, I want you to tell me what you think his best advice was to you, because it may not be the same. What do you think it was, Mike?
Well, there is a bit of a custom with chiefs as they go from one to the next, and Chief Beck did this for me, and he gave me 10 suggestions, if you will. Mm-hmm. He actually, and then he wrote an 11th one, and I have that prepared for Chief Choi. It'll be in his desk. That the chief's desk. That
give us a preview.
That it's you know, you words.
Give us
effect.
two of the 10 things.
Well, the first one is something of, you know, you're no smarter, you're no wiser, and you're no funnier than you were just today, yesterday.
All right.
And the last one is, if things don't work right, blame me. recognizing right. that the you know, and use it frequently as needed, but it has a diminishing return over time. Those are two factors that Chief Beck passed on to me. I don't know where he got his rules from, but I'm passing those on as well as some other customs as we do this transition. But let me say that I couldn't be prouder of this man and what he's taking on and the important work he's doing as the interim. He's the right person at the right time. The men and women of this organization are lucky to have him. He's going to do great work for them, and he's going to do great work for the people of Los Angeles.
Other than the 10 things he's going to leave for you in the desk, what has he told you so far that you think has been valuable?
Well, I'll just start by saying I've learned so much from this man. He's led an organization during the toughest times in policing. And I know it's my almost 30 years is not close to his 42 years, but I've been around for a little bit. And by far, in my experience, the last 5-6 years has been the most challenging in policing, not just here in the city, but nationwide, if not worldwide. And he's done that with grace, passion, and commitment. And just watching him, I've learned so much. But from a practical standpoint of what things he's said or told me. I've said this publicly before. As a young lieutenant, you know, everybody wants to make captain the next level, right? And sometimes a chief refers to this as silly season. People start to talk and get in camps and try and figure out how they're going to promote quicker. And he said something to me just briefly. He said, hey, don't get involved in that stuff. Keep your head down. Don't worry about the next step. Just work hard and do a good job at what you do now, and it'll, your actions will reward itself. I've kept that close to me. I've shared it with others, and obviously it's worked out for me. And I've said that publicly, and I fall back on that all the time.
Chief Moore, Chief Choi, thank you both for taking the time to be with us.
You know, this is a historic moment. I don't know that I've ever seen this occur. So you have a, you know, maybe you've got a pulse or something with this.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.